Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to episode 548 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
Shout out to Mr. Wars. We are so happy to be here for you.
Fuck that guy.
Busting snitches since 2002.
Snitches get stitches. And a couple of stripes. Those dirty motherfuckers. Anyway, for everyone else, we're not just having a three-way conversation just for the benefit of
that is one the
person.
Most inside baseball.
Yeah, that is
ever.
It really is. But it goes to where it'll be appreciated, and that's all that counts. Fellas, how we going?
Great,
sensational.
Feels like I haven't spoken to you guys for ages, like a week or so.
Oh, yeah, could have been longer, but fuck, here we are.
Yeah, couldn't it though, Glennie? Couldn't it?
It could have.
Big week.
I'll be honest, I wish it was.
Big week. We got some
big week.
Fucking...
What's a big week? What happened?
Oh, there's just
what
been
happened
a...
this week?
No, there's a lot of news to go through, like actual fucking news.
Yeah, look, the first question I have is can't has fucking touch football started up yet or what? Because I'm trying to justify your fucking presence, frankly.
Existence.
Yeah, justify your presence on this show.
I am this fucking show. Shut the fuck up. Still a couple more weeks before the senior winter comp kicks off. Some interesting things happening within the Lions club in A grade. Some potential big names being thrust into the A grade squad.
Ash Taylor?
No.
Oh,
no. Some big names within the world of touch football. So it'd be exciting to see that. Hopefully come to fruition over the next week or so.
So, like, big names in the world of touch football is like the guy that works at Woolies and plays touch all the weekend? Or?
How dare you? That's like just that just highlights
like
your ignorance.
Big names in the world of fucking curling, I suppose, as well.
You guys are fucking ignorant cunts.
Hey, look, we can be ignorant cunts, Glennie, but the fact of the matter is this.
You are
the biggest name in the biggest name in fucking Toowoomba touch football is fucking you.
Fuck.
We made it that way.
The biggest people... name is D's.
Exactly.
That would make some people, like the real D's touch football, hardcore Toowoomba touch people, that would make them bristle. But...
Oh, no, not the fucking hardcore Toowoomba touch people.
Yeah, no, there's fucking... The cunts with the pitchforks and the flaming torches have got nothing on these fuckers. Jesus.
Really?
It's hardcore up here.
That's why I don't know who they are. Because
Glennie, you might want to get them to fucking calm down for a little while. Like Toowoomba's fucking junior nursery's been under enough scrutiny recently.
Good times.
All right, what's the news? What's the news you want to talk about here, stepdad?
Oh, well, let's start off with South Sydney. Coach killing.
Yep. In the fucking gutter.
It's official.
Yep.
A team that's been playing for the better part of a month or so, like they wanted to get their coach sacked. Achievement unlocked.
Yeah. And so they finally terminated him. They had a meeting of the football club board and they decided the club had to go in a new direction with the coaching following a less than satisfactory series of results to end the 2023 and begin the 2024 seasons. Quote from Blake Solly. So the board and management feel that now is the time to make a change to the leadership of our football program in terms of the head coaching role. There is no doubting Jason's work ethic or his drive for success. But unfortunately, that success has not been forthcoming over the past 12 months. Blah, blah, best wishes. Ben Hornby becomes the interim head coach for the remainder of this season.
Ben Hornby. Jesus.
Yeah. It's funny. It's taking a couple the of board meetings to guy? Decide and, like, you know, not to, you know, not sack him, and then boom, all of a sudden they're sacking him again.
Mm.
And now it's taken. And look, at the start of the season, if you had have done taken the odds on the first coach to get sacked, this guy was not in the top three. That's for sure.
No, definitely not.
No.
SOS Wayne.
By round four, he was in the mix. Mm. But
it still boggles me though. How clubs can fuck up the PR optics on this so badly and come, yeah, you know, the whole, you know, oh, you've got the full support of the board.
Yeah, look, like, I don't think there's any way to do this in a good way, like during the course of a season.
But
because, like, it's
when
like,
it's come in, they go, well, you know, obviously our results aren't where we would like them to be. Yeah. But as it stands, he is our coach and we will support him however we can.
Hmm.
And that's all you
the
say.
The problem is, like, a coach, the circumstances around a coach getting sacked, at a minimum, it's just like tons of L's. And then, but then also, then there's the extra stuff, like, you know, the murmurings coming from within the club.
Team meetings.
So it's like, so it's never actually like a good, like, there's never any good circumstances around it in the first place. So it's just all, it's always just all bad. And there's no real way, I think, to navigate it.
Do they get Bennett?
Well, look, you know, that's the scuttlebutt around town, isn't it?
I reckon Bennett goes to Para.
Yeah, but they got to sack their guy first, and he's got himself some diplomatic immunity chips with Moses being out for a couple of weeks, and like he's got another couple to go.
Yeah,
and then they got Gutho's out for 4 to 5 weeks after having a minor procedure this week, so he can then say, "Listen, round 13 or 12 or whatever,
yep.
He gets up to State of Origin, and it's like I haven't had my fucking."
Not,
you know,
half
my spine's been out for. So look, you know, results aren't what they should be, but I got us to a grand final like a, you know, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, and I haven't got, you know, the injuries have been terrible, and not just the injuries, but particularly, you know, the key playmaker. This is the sort of shit he'll say. I mean, should he be sacked? Of course he should be fucking sacked. Of course. I wish I had sacked him fucking this week so I could fucking put it on the mantelpiece as another kill. But
I just feel like, you know, there's that in the paper, there was a comment that, oh, you know, Bennett, you know, would love to go back to South Sydney. He loves the club and you know, he's a big fan of the proud history of... I'm like, Wayne Bennett loves the club? What? Wayne Bennett doesn't love anything but gilfs and money.
No,
and,
he doesn't even love the gilfs. Well, he just fucking bangs them. Like, he doesn't love them gilfs.
No.
Well, he loves one thing, money. That's it. So, which makes me think
he loves Wayne, and he loves Wayne, and he loves the story of Wayne, and he loves the legacy of Wayne,
and Darius, and money.
Yeah,
but he will go to the highest bidder, right? Okay, if both jobs are on offer,
chance of most success. I think he'll go to the squad that he perceives as the immediate chance of most success.
And is that South?
I don't know. I mean, they've just signed the halfback from the English Super League whose name escapes me. So that means that Braith is going to be shopping Ilias around right now. So if this guy's good, then they go, okay, pair him with Cody. I mean, Wayne will get the best out of Cody. Wayne will definitely get the best out of Latrell. That's probably the demise of Demetrio, actually, the fact that he couldn't wrangle...
Couldn't work with them.
You know, like strong personality like Latrell, who needs, like... that Wayne Bennett fucking, you know, manager of fucking men thing that he does so well. I mean, it's the same way that he got the best out of Darius and Milford and almost immediately washed when he left them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hallmark of a Wayne Bennett, you know, a Wayne Bennett coach side, is that he can get those sorts of personalities under control and, you know, go in the right direction and pull them together, you know, so... But then you look at the Eels and you go, okay, so you got, you know, Gutho, whatever, you got Moses, Dylan Brown, yeah. I don't know. I mean, if I was the type of person who had to choose between coaching Parramatta or the Rabbits, I mean, obviously I'd fucking kill myself. But if I had to pick a side that I thought that I could win a premiership with more immediately, with some, you know, off-season acquisitions or whatever, just to bolster up some of the problem areas, I'm probably taking South, I reckon.
Yeah.
I think this is a higher upside to them.
Speaking of South, the weirdest thing... I shouldn't say it's weird. The completely expected thing for me here is that lost in all of this stuff is that they've told Ilias that he can go and negotiate with other clubs.
Yep.
Right? Rugby league has reached peak fucking incest when a fucking... The media company that has a vested interest in the game is discussing the game, and one of its fucking TV presenters is the player manager for fucking the guy in the story.
And he was a junior for the club where the player's going from, and he's probably and he played a long period at the club and where he's probably going to go to.
And has a family fucking history, the Piggins legacy.
Yeah.
To connect him to the club, but you know, talking there in his fucking 360 thing about, I'm so surprised this. They shouldn't be spending money on a half. They've got a great half. They should go and be spending their money in the forwards. That's where they're lacking and stuff.
And look, he's not wrong, but I mean, like, there's such conflict of interest there. And the thing is that they're not journalists, and they haven't, they wouldn't know, journalism 101. And so that's long before they even get to like the question of like, ethics and when to recuse themselves from the conversation because of the conflict of interest. So.
Fuck me dead.
Anyway, goodbye, Demetrio. And I'm sure Steve's is having a fucking good old chuckle that it is you whose career is now dead after the shit you spoke. You fuckhead.
Kiri.
So he's retiring at the end of the year, right?
Yep.
Look, my initial take on this was when Uncle Nick calls you up and says that you're retiring, you answer that call or they find a bag on you at the next social function.
Yep, correct.
Kiri's seen it happen so many times, and so instead he took the Boyd Cordner route rather than the Sean Kenny Dowell route. and announced his retirement. Look, it's funny. It's been up and down because he was terrible, and he was sort of terrible to start the season. They're actually humming along pretty well at the moment. But so I don't know if he's received any, bad tests or prognoses for listen, you got to stop doing it, or it's been like internal pressure, like our halves are. They can beat up on a prone opponent, but when it comes to like the business end of the season, not quite there. Need to make some changes. I don't know. He's going to have some cash to spend though.
Won't they? My concern is 6 or 7 years time when Luke Keary's CTE hits its peak, and I just think that Luke Keary's not going to be a media personality. I'd say he probably goes into retirement and relative obscurity, but then becomes...
What about a job at the club?
Yeah, maybe somewhere behind the scenes, but I think he becomes the poster child for CTE in, about 6 or 7 years' time. His concussions were some of the most... Like, Cordner was another one.
Yep.
And ironically, Jake Friend, all three from the same club, but
it's hard to stitch those things together as like a pattern of like something that could be controlled by a club.
That's it.
Fucking brain injuries at their club.
Do you remember though? Do you remember when the Roosters, like, we were lauding the Roosters for their treatment of fucking head clashes, and they were a pioneer in standing players down against their will, and no, you've had that. We're going to arrest you. Now, it's just fucking...
Now there's actually mandates in place and they stick to what they're told they have to do, and that's it.
I think Luke Keary's case is one that I'll be interested to monitor. He's... Because some of his concussions were fairly glaring, like minimal contact, and he's legitimately out cold. Yeah. You don't get your chin back.
I'm actually looking forward to not monitoring Luke Keary's concussions because There's nothing more sad than a person fucking dying of degenerative brain injuries clinic. What you do in your spare time, though?
More so because I feel like there's going to be more made of the CTE situation into the future.
Yeah, well, obviously.
Did you hear James Graham on that, Glennie, during the week?
No.
I thought he had...
Well, you know, he was making noise. I just can't understand a word he says.
I'll paraphrase. He essentially said you have to draw a line. What do you want, safety or spectacle? You know, and that no one goes into the game expecting it to be safe. That there shouldn't be any sort of expectation from any player that the game is safe.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is that players, no player goes into the game expecting that it's going to be them either.
Oh, 100% is right.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, he makes a valid point because, you know, every kid that is, you know, clearly gets to the age where they make the decision that rugby league is potentially, you know, at the highest level is potentially going to be a career for them. Not one of them thinks, well, what if I get, you know, what if I end up with CTE? I guarantee not one of them thinks that. But it is a thing. And, you know, with the research and the findings and the, you know, the advancement in that particular cause through the NFL in the States, the NRL's following, you know, closely behind that. And I think the NRL's primary objective is to protect themselves from future litigation, which is why Luke Keary's case is one that is of particular
interest. I think that will be exacerbated by the lawsuits going on at the moment. You got the Doggies player suing them for punishment.
Getting wrassled.
And then, Nate, do you want to speak about the next point, which is the old mate Caesar wanting to sue Manly?
Yeah. I tell you, hopefully the situation is, people don't know, like Lloyd Perrott played for Manly back in the sort of mid-2000s within the Trent Barrett era, so the 2015 to 2018 era. And there was a preseason training thing, and apparently they were getting flogged or just doing runs, I think. And they weren't letting him have a drink in between. And so he's passed out and had a seizure, apparently. And then he's commenced a lawsuit today and, you know, claiming, it's, you know, it fucked his career and blah, blah, blah. Because, I mean, you know, now he's playing whatever Queensland Park football is, like for Ormo or something. honestly, if this lawsuit can get some of the fucking worst actors out of the game, like in terms of like player safety, I'm fucking all for it. Because the people in charge at that particular time was Trent Barrett and Dan Ferris was the strength and conditioning guy. He was a long-term strength and conditioning guy at the Titans. And then he went to Manly when Trent started. And after Trent left, he went to the Bulldogs with Trent. And I think he finished up there at the end of 2022, which is probably, you know, as early as Seraldo could probably get rid of him. And I don't know if he's lobbed up another team since. But the fact that he was, you know, him, and then also, like, you know, you get the guys like, you know, Desi and that with the Keith Titmus thing. Like, what fucking strength and conditioning program says to deprive people of fucking water? I mean, like, you can flog, I mean, like, don't you? You can flog guys and you can make guys, you know, struggle mentally by doing, like, you know, load and exertion. But, like, fucking not.
Torture. Torture's probably a bridge too far.
Pre-season, which is over summer, the hottest part of the year, you know, where they don't even play the game. Like, fucking. It's fucking mind-boggling, unbelievable that you know, this sort of shit can happen. You know, as recently, you know, talking like sort of, you know, within the last 10 years, last 9 years, like it's fucking ridiculous. So it's funny, when you're talking about the Bulldogs thing, that's a different thing entirely, I think. That's like, that is a guy, well, it's obviously, it's still on the trainer, but that was a situation where the trainer had no fucking concept of how to, like, to lead people and, like, bond teams together and stuff like that. And he sort of set out to purposely make, like, a, you know, an exclusionary sort of, you know, put one guy on the outer with the rest of the team over being late to the training session one time. Is like, I mean, that's, it's just a different type of shit performance at the job that he's employed to do.
Yeah.
I've seen James Graham talking about that as well. And what I've come to is that, like, James Graham, I like seeing him on the TV shows because he's a different voice and coming from a different place. But that man is a fucking, he is an agent for the game. For real. Because even on the Bulldog situation he was talking about, like the what's his name? Jackson Topine. He was basically on the club side saying, like, you know, look, it's, you know, some guys just aren't built.
Yeah, it's built not for you.
Like, and look, I would agree if, like, you know, we said it before on the show, Shark Tank's are fucking super fun, but you have to sort of do like a what if scenario and go, what if the coach, after it had finished, was like, all right, you know, get up, have a drink, blah, 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 don't be late again. And that was the end of it and the matter was done. Versus what he apparently said was like, you know, not letting the guys help him up, you know, still being a cunt. Like, you know, if you're going to punish someone in a team environment, you know, when they've served the punishment, then it should be over and it's like, you know, clean slate, on to the next.
Yeah.
I also think that it was a bit of a failure in the leadership of some of the players as well, because their leadership group, he's not their head coach. He's just a fucking strength and conditioning guy. They should have got together as a team thing, and they should have got the leadership group or the captain of the side should have got around the guy. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, but if the strength and conditioning coach was wearing a polo shirt, that trumps... That is a sign of authority not to be argued with.
Yeah, don't do that, don't do that. I was like, how about you fuck yourself? You got a problem with it. Go get fucking Cameron down here. I mean, and like, let's face it, Seraldo is not a sympathetic guy. I mean, he had a press conference today where he made a backhander. He said something like, look, you know, like we train hard here and it's not for everyone,
yep,
sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, fuck. So look, maybe it was an order from him, but I think, you know, as like a captain, if you're an actual real captain of your side and, like, you know, you understand leadership and you're trying to, you know, play your part as the captain, then that would be when you'd step in and be like, nah, this is, you know, step up to the player.
Yeah, but, that's a fair point.
Didn't happen either. So, anyway.
Nice. That's about it. Unless we want to talk about that fucking absolute cunt stain, poor Kent getting slammed into a fucking tree. I could talk about that for fucking days. That's fucking
look, there's, like, the things I like about it is, one, he's got charged. two, he's, like, broke or cracked like 5 ribs and had a collapsed lung from it.
Yep.
But honestly, it's fucking impressive. 54 years old. It's impressive how, like, vertical he got so quickly up on that tree. Like, I mean, obviously a large part comes to the fucking the man that was backing away, not wanting to engage with him, who knows his judo well. I mean, but the fucking time from him going fucking standing on his feet to vertical on his head up against the tree in the gutter was fucking phenomenal. It was almost like, I love it. And I also love the fact that, you know, there's a couple of different people who put, like, Google place listings on that tree. So, yeah, Kenty's tree and so on, so you can actually go and visit it. And it's marked on Google Maps as Kenty's tree, which is wonderful.
Surely that's got to be the end of him.
Well, if you're to believe what Chris Murphy, the lawyer, said on Twitter, the other guy got charged first, like a day before Kent did. And Chris Murphy is representing him, and he was on Twitter and said, listen, I'm representing this guy.
The other guy or Paul Kent?
The guy that dumped Paul Kent.
Yeah.
The hero.
And he's the guy that was backing away in the vision, right? And so he actually came out on Twitter and said, I'm representing this guy as of 10:30 this evening. And he was out at that restaurant with his wife and another couple. He doesn't drink. and he had consumed no alcohol. And as you can see in the vision, he's backing away.
And so Kent goes him.
Yeah, and then Kent goes him. Like, the guy wanted nothing to do with it, and Kent was obviously drunk and whatever. And the fact he's, you know, taking his watch off and all that sort of stuff, you know, like, he had people trying to hold him back. So look, you know, this the reason why I think this is the end is because on News Limited websites they're reporting on it. They never reported on that other shit.
Yeah. There you
when
go.
He disappeared off 360, they never said shit. Like, not a, this time now, he's been stood down. This time they're talking about the thing, putting video on the site. So they've got the green light to start talking about it, which makes me think that it might be the final straw, particularly if he actually does get found guilty of the affray charges or whatever he's on. So I think he might have had a chance with that other guy being booked a day before. He might have had a chance if that guy went down for it and he didn't. Then you could say, look, I was a victim in a situation, broke some ribs. Well, you know, it's fucking terrible. But now if he has a day in court and he's the aggressor, nothing happens to the other guy, that's, you know, probably. Because he never got found guilty for all that other shit, like choking that chick and everything. So they sort of had that back door where they're like, well, he's not guilty of anything. So,
welcome back.
And fucking. The Jack the Bell and loophole.
Nice. But, there's the news that was.
Must be at court, though. Fucking masterful fucking work from the mighty Manly Sea Eagles there with Daly at the judiciary. Pays to actually pay for proper representation and going with a fucking plan, because it's not very often that people get the downgrade through. Usually they get the other way because the judiciary is there to protect the match review committee. And on this occasion, though, they actually fucking...
Don't talk about getting proper It is fucking ludicrous that we hire proper fucking legal professionals to go to a pretend court.
To go to kangaroo court. Exactly. Just take a kangaroo in there. It's a kangaroo court.
They love, like, the NRL, they love to think they're like a thing. But the thing is, you've got to play by those rules though, or you're fucked. You know what I mean? You've got to play them at their rules in their arena. And do the dance and everything, and then, you know, to get through. But it also paid to have the chairman of the committee or the judiciary committee, that the panel that night with Jeff Ballou SC, who when he was Jeff Ballou QC, he would represent Manly players all the time, trying to get him off in the judiciary going back 20-30 years.
Jesus.
And not only that, he was a chairman of the Sea Eagles and on the board of the Sea Eagles at one stage. So
stack the deck.
Yeah. I saw a tweet from, I can't remember which journalist it was, but he tweeted on Twitter saying that, myself and Scott Bailey have done, you know, so many, reported on so many judiciary hearings, and got to say that out of all of them, no one has ever been as calm as Daly rocking up to this judiciary. And furthermore, he actually seems like he's excited just to like be a part of it, see what it's all about for the first time. So, shout out to Homoli as well for fucking being the fall guy.
Nice.
True soldier for the side. You'll be rewarded.
Righto. There you go. We've got 15 minutes to go through AAC round.
All right. wasn't it a genuine AAC round? First game on Anzac Day. Or AAC Day, as it shall forever be known now. It's funny that we only just brought that old nugget up again last week, and it just proved to be true. The Gold Coast Titans, 27, defeated the Warriors 24 in their own fucking home. Go Media Stadium.
Disgusting.
Unbelievable. Look.
The
scaffolds are crashing to the ground. I'll tell you though, the Titans played pretty well last week, and they played even better this week. Again, same situation. They went down by a couple of tries straight away. And look, you know, sometimes they need to kick in. You know, they just need that sort of wake up call, a bit of
a kick in the balls to get them.
And after that happened, they didn't claw their way back into the game on the scoreboard immediately, but they did definitely in like the running of the game. You know, they instantly stiffened up. The Warriors had more, you know, got some more opportunities, but they actually defended these ones, and then they slowly started to get themselves on the scoreboard and going in an unlikely halftime lead, which they managed to hold. Despite a little bit of pressure at the end. I mean, there was a time there where it seemed like it was pretty
fucking
much a match winning.
It was relentless for the last fucking 7 minutes. It was nothing but the Warriors repeat set after repeat set after repeat set. And they weren't doing anything, though. Exactly. They couldn't get it done.
Like, it was like they had the possession and the opportunity, but they never really felt like they were going to. For
but from where play, the
a fucking masterpiece of a game.
Yeah, he did.
Left it all out there.
From where the Titans were to start the season, to actually, and I understand what you're saying, your point in regards to the Warriors, not, you know, what they were throwing at them wasn't the most structured or crisp attack. But again, you look at the way the Warriors, the Titans started the season, to actually hold them out for that period of time and really scramble and hustle their way to close that game out was probably the most impressive part.
I think points haven't been their problem this season.
Mm.
Yeah.
They've been involved in some very high-scoring games. It's been controlling momentum and stemming the tide. When that team goes, well, hang on, it's just the fucking Titans here, let's come back over the top of them.
Mm.
They haven't really had the answers to that defensively.
Yeah, and you've got to remember, like, the Warriors, I mean, like, two of the tries they scored were just fucking, like, well worked, but, like, just crash balls to
Fennell AFB. Blake,
yeah.
Pretty much under the sticks, you know, like, whereas Titans, I mean, like, honestly, like, the thing I took around that game was, like, Foz played such a fucking monster game in defense as well, like, body on the line, like, you know, stopping forwards, like, just one of those games for Foran that, you know, the ones that, like his legendary games. And the team got around him. I'm sure Titans fans, they can't be fucking talking shit on Tanner Boyd anymore now because, I mean, that's two great performances in a row from him.
Selected forever.
And it was another and it was another week at fullback in his own right for Brimson.
Yep.
And you could tell that actually they were, you know, it was like a week progressed from, you know, when he was chucked back there last week. So
just see fact that Brimson is a little bit more is just a little bit more solid and a bit more of a you know, nuggety sort of build. He has that ability. If there's a bit of space, but he's got to break, you know, he's got to bust through some contact.
Yeah.
He does that, obviously, because of his frame, a lot better than Campbell. I think Campbell in broken field with his footwork is great in his own right, but I just think the way that if the Titans play to their strengths, I think Brimson running off for Fifita and you know, around Foran is probably the go-to for the Titans.
I think Brimson's just got a better football brain as well, rather than just like straight young athleticism.
Which is
Campbell.
Mm.
That's it. In the socials, Cruzy, he said there's going to be nose beers and drinks flowing on the Gold Coast tonight after that win. Yes, there would have been, but it wasn't.
Right, but that's like that's a fucking day that ends in Y on the Gold Coast.
Ryan. The Warriors finally get gifted the easiest opponent for Anzac Round after getting reamed year after year by the Storms and still manage to bottle it.
It was so satisfying. Like, the result was so satisfying.
Matthew, he said, happy for the Titans. Also happy that my footy for the rest of the weekend is Titans free. Noughts. Titans walking away like Beth walking away from Jake, battered, bruised, but still taking the 2 points. Christ. Steve, you said the Warriors win the best Anzac jersey of the round. Interesting.
No. It's like a fucking Tasmanian's nightmare.
Oh, Levi. He said that game was the most tragic event to ever occur on this date. next game.
The Roosters, 60. Defeated the Dragons, 18.
Fuck the Dragons. Fuck them.
Just want to say, you're welcome. You motherfuckers wanted to get tipped. Yeah, this is what happens.
Yeah. The Dragons.
Now you're out of the competition. And we don't have to listen to them again all season because they're out of the league.
Yep.
See you next year, you fucking germs.
In, you know, great atmosphere, great, you know, occasion. You know, the game absolutely well supported, as it always is. And the Dragons, befitting of the occasion, had more holes put in them than the first bloke off the boat at Gallipoli. Sam Walker, you know, had an absolute blinder, certainly one of the best games I've seen him have in first grade. Immediately.
Is that his peak performance?
Definitely. So I feel.
Yeah.
Followed very, very closely with the Back to the Broncos chat. started up quick smart after a game like that. But they just, yeah. I thought the Dragons actually started. They scored the first try of the game and actually started reasonably well. And, yeah, once the Roosters, once the roll started, a bit like a couple of other games in this same round, once the roll started, there was no stopping it, and the Dragons just completely fell away.
And I know that this is a rolling stone of an issue. Obviously, the more defense you do, the more tired you get, the more defense you do, the worse you get at defense. The Dragons missed 50 tackles in that game. You know, generally, you see clubs up in the high 20s, 30s, and you're like, yeah, okay, that was a shonky defensive effort. But 50? Still, I'm not sure if this game was a true reflection of where each of these teams are, or whether it was the perfect storm of special occasion football that the Roosters were well up for, because they played well above the level that they've been playing at all year.
Look, I think there is that, and then there's also the fact that Sully got knocked out on the very first play of the game, and so there's a little bit of a reshuffle there.
But then is this also just the Flano Dragons in their earliest form?
I just think that the Dragons, you can't expect anything from them week in, week out. You'll get good performances, you'll get shit ones.
Yeah, exactly. He's milked a whole bunch of results out of what was essentially an almost dead talent pool, apart from Ben Hunt. And they have overachieved thus far, but they're not going to keep it up for a full season.
Yep.
Fair assessment.
What do we have on the socials in this one? Oh, Colin, Roosters forever. But I never saw that coming. Great flowing footy. Who's next? That'll be the real test. Can they fucking back it up? Or do they
choke? Who's next? I mean, you played good teams and lost to them, pal. Well, careful what you wish for. Use these dragon cunts as an example. tip us. All right. Now what?
Oh, there you go. The internet shit itself on the comments. Next game.
Oh. Storms 54. Defeat the Rabbits 20. Down at the Korean Housewife. And the result, obviously, ending the tenure of one JD as coach.
Fair enough, too. You know, Grant, Hughes, Pappenhausen and Munster absolutely carved the Bunnies up. And, you know, from the work that they were doing, you know, from right in the middle with Harry Grant working the forwards over the advantage line, and then Hughes and Munster, Pappy chiming in, it all added up to some pretty light work for Coates and Warbrick and later on in the game, Wishart on the wings, just completely destroyed the Bunnies.
Can we just say how fucking bad Warbrick was too? Like in a team that absolutely dominated, that guy was fucking horrible. You know, as he has been all season, just quietly. This was the Munster. This was the Munster comeback game. I mean, because he's kind of been obviously injured at the start of the season, kind of just there. You know, recently, but I guess this is what he looks like when he's back.
They play quite differently when he's playing like that. You know, tailoring to his strengths and some of his unpredictability. Coates, for me, and they made the comment in commentary that it looks like he's had a big off season. He looks leaner and fitter, and just isn't really out of position. His finishing is outstanding for a guy, you know, his size as well. He's, you know, the way that he can maneuver his body as a really tall winger is impressive. And Hughes, again, extremely underrated, but so important to what the Storm do.
100%. Shane, Harry Grant's try was embarrassing for South. He just turned around in a circle and dived over.
And fell over.
That one was, it was interesting. Nick, the Storm's defense has been good all year, but their attack has sucked. Now goddamn Souths have played their attack into form. # kick them out again. Lachlan, at what point do people consider Cook and Walker to be one-dimensional players who have been figured out? Because all I could hear from Joey all game is how good Walker is and he should be the sixth for New South Wales. As a Queenslander, I second that decision. That's that thing again, though. Like, that it's not taken into account so fucking often is that Dylan Walker was fucking amazing when he was paired next to Adam Reynolds. Cody Walker, sorry.
Yeah.
When he was paired next to Adam Reynolds. That combination of halves made the grand final and played exceptionally well together.
Hmm.
So, yeah, Walker hasn't had the same success, but he hasn't had the same quality of halves partner.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So, anyway, next game.
Oh, Tane Milne too. What a fucking dog. Like that shot, like right at the end of that game where it's so far over. Like, prior history, and he had two weeks was what he got.
Yeah,
it's fucking ridiculous the way that you know these charges work, because that was like an intent to fucking injure, like dog shot straight up. The mighty Manly Siebes Eagles 32 defeated the Parramatta Eels 18, broke them again at Brookvale Oval, and look. A wonderful performance in a strange game. Down on their defense in the first half, you know, without question. But as they have done over the last couple of games, been very strong in the second half, defensively much tighter in the second half, and, you know, whilst still putting on like a good total of points overall to ultimately run out very good winners. The only complaint I really have about this this performance from the Manly side is like Garrick needs to really settle in. He's still got to get settled in the centre position defensively. He's not there yet. I don't know if it's like panic stations, like, you know, pull the ejector seat and throw him on the wing again over the other side, and, you know, maybe shift someone, like, you know, give Talau a chance or something at centre on the right hand side. But like it needs work, and I mean, like, you know, like I back him as a player, so I mean he'll figure it out, but. You know, it's, you know, not great. To overcome the Symbian, and then for the Eels to fucking position they put themselves in, and particularly that dickhead fucking Mike Acevo, the position he put his side in at the end when the game was still, like, you know, close enough margin that they were a chance, even though they weren't playing particularly well. You know, Manly were looking good in attack and starting to split them up the guts. To fucking take all chance, to remove all possibility by just throwing, like, you know, we're talking about Tane Milne in the last game, but just to throw a dumb fucking, like, ridiculous shot
that was
in a televised
stupid.
Sport that's so easy to see, and so reportable and so sin binnable. What the fuck was he thinking? And
Manly took such quick advantage too, like he wouldn't have even been all the way down the tunnel.
Yeah, instantly put the game out of reach. Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, he'd actually been great and scored some tries in the game too.
Yeah, that trick.
It got up to a point where he was actually, like, his plus minus was actually pretty good for the game and one of the better that he'd had in recent times. And I was getting ready to load it up on tweets, like, well, because all these Eels fans have been just shitting on him all season long. I was like, well, where's your fucking, you know, where's your mic? Now I get it. 10 minutes to go or 9 minutes to go, wherever it was. Yeah, okay. He can lose you. He can contribute hard to losing you a game, that's for sure. But yeah, look, I mean, we're down on some guys, but, you know, covered it okay, I thought. And look, at the end of the day, if we're just going to win every game 32-18, that's fine. I mean, there's things to work on. But they seem to be aware of it and, you know, be better at the end of the season when it's going to count. But also, this brought a return of the opposing coaches' press conference being overshadowed by Manly singing their victory song through the paper thin dressing room walls of Brookvale Oval, and that really, really fucking pissed Garpo off. And so I'm here for that as well.
Fantastic. Bennett. If stepdad doesn't read this comment, he is delinquent in his duties and should be pulled in front of family court. There you go. Fucking read it.
Yeah, but you read the comment. But the comment, there was no game comment on there.
I know.
It was just that's not pure, delinquent in his duties at all.
That is the fucking Manly fan of comments. You dumb fuck. Dave, give Homoli a Blues jersey. I agree. Well overdue. What else we got here? Oh, everyone's debating the lifting tackle. Anthony said, Manly top five after being asleep. Good things to come. Devonhead, shame to see a conglomerate like Walmart shut up shop on this. I have no fucking idea what that's on about. Terry, sometimes, just sometimes, when you wish both teams would lose, they both try to make it happen. Shunter Senior, Madison was owned all game. Hashtag Brooksy's a bully. That's a great
that was my favorite. That was my favorite part of that sequence where Madison smashed Brooksy high, and because he doesn't play for penalties like Parramatta do, he just bounced up and got on with it. And then, you know, a couple of minutes later, they sort of, you know, said, "Okay, you're on report, Madison, for that tackle you did last year." And then Brooksy to fucking pick him up, dump him, and then when he hits the ground, then fucking bitch slapped him on across the face before he landed on him. Oh, it was lovely. Just fucking amazing. And on Brooksy watch, he's already won as many games, I think, with Manly as he's won the last 2 years with the Tigers. He's looking to get the last 3 years by the end of this season, I reckon. So it's good to see those little legs not only pumping, because they're always pumping. They've always been pumping. Been a fan of it for years, as you know. But now they're pumping, and he's got a smile on his face as well, which is just a fucking beautiful thing to see. Isn't it, Glenny?
Lovely. Next game.
I don't hate it.
Broncos 34 defeated the West Tigers 10 at Jared's house at Campbelltown Sports Stadium. Broncos up 16-0 at half time. I thought that you got fucked in the ass by Grant Atkins, or not by Grant Atkins, but by the video referee, Glenny, because there was that try that Appy scored would have put it 10-6 probably at half time, because it was only like a couple minutes to go. And there's no fucking way that try should have been disallowed. It's such bullshit. And Broncos then capitalise and score another try shortly after. So potentially 10-6 halftime goes in 16-0, and that was game.
To the letter of the law of the rule, though, it was correct, right? Because they changed the rule. And there was
separation.
All I saw
was that he had the ball. He had the ball.
So explain the change to the listeners, Glennie.
I don't know what the change is. I wanted it to be a try, but they're saying, you know, with the change in the rule that he loses control and you can't...
You must regain control.
You can't just lose it and then force your hand.
So catch up to it again.
That's basically the way to put it. Yeah. So...
What the fuck's happening? Regain control. Is my hand on top of the ball not regaining control?
Because there was no control, yeah.
Do I have to grasp it and then move it backwards and forwards again? Like, what?
Unless you got like the Shaq hands, and you actually can wrap more way around a ball. One hand,
like
you're never
going
to have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you're controlling it to go in the direction where you want it to go, which is playing on the fucking ground across the try line. But try and do something
rules.
Else. Totally change the direction. You can't do it. You got no control.
Can you still ground a ball with your torso?
Yeah.
What happened with that torso?
I believe you can.
I thought. Yeah.
Can you still ground a ball with your forearm?
As far as I know.
So then what's control with your forearm? If you drop the ball, can you then just like make a fist and ground it with your forearm? And so that's as much control as a forearm can get.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you got the right representation, you probably get off. look, Reynolds cut the Tigers to shreds. His kicking game was one thing, but his ball playing was outstanding. Walsh had his moments as well.
When you can take a fucking intercept while dealing with a fucking hamstring cramp or whatever the fuck it was.
Whatever was going on. Polio. The man had polio on the wing and still took an intercept.
give it up.
Yeah, look, the roll started early and, you know, the Appy decision aside, the Tigers couldn't find a way into the game. And,
no, not at all. And the Broncos are terrific at basically taking a half chance and backing up with like five guys in support. Oh. So they turn those half chances into tries pretty much every time.
Can I point out to you how scary this is? That the Broncos played such a fucking dominant game of football, completing at under 70%.
Mm.
They put on 34 fucking points with 26 sets in the game.
Yeah.
That is absolutely fucking staggering.
Your prophecy on the big Fainu brother, Nate, is holding true.
Yep. Yep.
Yes. What was that prophecy, Glenn?
That, you know, it's a bit of a loose unit. Can give away a penalty. Can find his way into trouble. And
yes.
Just, there's just a little bit of loose wiring going on upstairs there.
He is going straight to jail with his brother. Straight to jail.
Fucking hell. What have we got on that one? Stuart, he said, let's get this over and done with. Let's be the third team put out a premiership possibility this round. No, it didn't get that bad.
No.
Did not get that bad.
We can still win the comp.
Liam, are we still pretending things have changed culturally in Tiger Town?
Yeah.
I honestly like, at the end of the day, the Tigers, and I take full responsibility, but the Tigers have won the last two wooden spoons, and clearly things have changed. Clearly they've made a lot of moves. They've had some good performances this year. They're still finding their way. They're going to lose some games. That's to be expected. Benji's actually, I feel like, he's doing a good job. But just people wanting to absolutely shit on the Tigers when there's some teams that are going far, far worse with far better rosters and more established names in their side. And please, I take full responsibility.
Parramatta, Souths.
Thank you. I take full responsibility that people want to shit on the Tigers because I talked them up. So,
well, okay, so let's bring it on. You're a coach. You can go and coach Parramatta, Souths or Tigers.
You're exactly the type of person I'm talking about.
But which job would you take?
Tigers.
You would take the Tigers as the last one you take.
Exactly.
That's the point. The first one you take. But I mean, the thing is, that's the point, though. I mean, like, the fact that the roster, I mean, you're not going to take it for a number of reasons. It's probably because of roster and things like that. And no, so, like,
what we've just come to the conclusion of is that we believe that those other two clubs are so close to being fucking decent again that rank amateur coaches such as ourselves could get them to make that jump, and we won't touch the Tigers with a 10-foot pole. That's what we've just established.
Thank you for your TED talk.
Lovely. And Sam finally said, congrats on the win, Glenn Blakely.
That guy's a cock.
Socials.
Oh, social. Sorry, I've been watching Paul Kent get thrown into a tree. Over. Over.
It's been an interesting recording session, technically, technologically speaking, tonight. Let's see if I can make it sound seamless.
All that, like, I don't know. It's just the fact, like, how old are you? You're still out at fucking pubs looking for fights.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking hell.
That fucking guy. Yeah.
Terry said, Glenny Edwards looks tired. He certainly does. A couple of comments on this. Why does Casey Badger make so much noise? Is this a thing?
I haven't noticed it. I mean, the only noises that I've ever had a problem with her rationale for being in, you know, disallowing tries from Manly in the bunker. That's the only noise I don't like hearing out of her.
The Edwards slander continues with Cameron saying Edwards is just a fitter Carl Pilkington.
The worst thing he did for his personal brand was shave his fucking head.
There you go.
Well, honestly,
next game.
It's the worst thing he did.
Next game.
The Knights 18 defeat the Dolphins 14 at Suncorp Stadium on Sunday, and the Knights unveiled their a new replacement in Armstrong at fullback, and dare I say they found an answer to their woes at fullback.
What happened to Texie?
Didn't he go to fucking England or something?
Yeah, I thought he went to England. Yeah,
he went to England. Glennie drove him out of the game.
Yeah.
Well, he's trying to do with Kurt Mann.
No, I've rescinded. I've rescinded on Kurt Mann.
Okay.
Bud Sullivan, though. That guy can fuck off.
How good's Armstrong, though, Glennie?
Good Warwick boy.
And look, the Knights have been struggling for consistency and quality at fullback for the longest fucking time, and now it looks like they finally may have a chance of finding
you
it.
You are being purposely defamatory.
I'm saying good things about the guy, not bad things.
Not about Caelan
Do you
Pogge,
understand what defamation is?
yes,
I'm pumping this kid up. He scored on debut. It was incredible.
Yeah.
The scenes.
Looks yeah, quick.
So does everyone else. Everyone scores on debut.
Yeah, that's true. He's kind of the law.
Yeah.
These days.
Yes.
No, he looks a talent, but a talent that's ultimately... Yeah, I agree.
This was an opportunity without Ponga, and they were just outright disappointed. I mean, I feel like the Knights did definitely lift, though. But not to the point where they were like some sort of great irresistible...
It was a much improved performance from Newcastle after a few shaky ones late. And I think they, you know, whilst they weren't spectacular, they just found a way to do just enough to keep the Dolphins at bay for the duration. They certainly handled everything the Dolphins threw at them without being completely dominant, if you know what I mean. It was a strange old game, but they did just enough to get the 2 points. And with some of the performances they've had of late, this is one that they can put in the books and, you know, maybe build from. You know, depending, Ponga's obviously going to be out for a while. So Armstrong's going to have a fair crack at first grade in the one position to sort of make a name for himself and find his way. So
I feel like they won this game pretty well. Like, I mean, I don't think it was just enough. I mean, the Dolphins, again, made it look a little bit better with the junk time, kind of like they did against the Broncos as well.
Mm.
I mean, they've got a habit. They can put some tries on late. But, you know, Knights had this one well and truly won.
Yeah. The Dolphins are probably... I don't know. It's tough to get a read on them completely at this early stage of the season. And the Knights, like I say, they needed a win and they got one.
Yeah, and this around this time of the season for the Dolphins is when they started to take a dip last year as well.
Mm.
That's it. Well, and that's the thing. As is deserving of this game, no comments.
Great.
What was the prognosis on Saifidi?
On the injury?
Yeah.
Not sure. I don't think I've seen anything about that.
Okay. Because they were speculating maybe Achilles, but Dr. Andrew Voss.
Yeah, right. Okay. I didn't think it was that that serious, but okay. Just let me quickly, I'll just quickly scan down to this week's thing and see if I've got a report on it.
Knights prop, Jacob Saifidi, has had to be assisted off the ground, suffering a lower leg injury in the second half.
He's out, but it's TBC from what I'm looking at.
Yeah. Nothing official.
Okay,
so no comments. The Sharks 40 defeated Canberra 0.
Ugh.
The holy scoreline appears again. Amen. In Canberra.
I'll be honest, I thought that's where the Tigers game was heading.
And let me tell you, the Raiders, as a 40-0 scoreline may suggest, the Raiders were not in this game in any way, shape or form at any stage.
No.
And it's fucking disappointing. I mean, look, we knew there was obviously going to be some sort of directional change from them with the injury. You know, obviously you lose your halfback.
Mm.
You know, it's an extremely important position to lose.
But they didn't lose all of their middle forwards, which is where Cronulla absolutely fucking belted them and laid the platform for their win.
See, maybe this is just a case of perception becoming reality. Because they wore a camouflage jersey. So it was just like there was no one in the defensive line.
Maybe so. You might have cracked it.
Yeah. I was surprised to see the job that Cronulla did on the Raiders through the middle. And then just the...
Especially when you look at like the starting middle of the Raiders is one of the better...
Yeah,
100%
combos there in Papali'i and Tapine. So,
and this is my issue with Ricky Stewart as a coach. That with the talent that he has on paper, there should be a floor for this team that is well above what they produced in this game.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, they have this game was the anomaly of their season thus far, I suppose. So
yeah, but that's what I'm saying. To be the coach that he thinks he is, this anomaly doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You have a certain flaw in your side and certain things that are non-negotiable, and going down 40-0 to a side on paper that you should have dominated, especially in the forwards.
Yeah.
Isn't okay. That is a coaching issue, not a playing group issue, especially, Nate, like you alluded to, when it hasn't been an issue the rest. If it's a talent issue or a team chemistry issue and it's been happening all season, fair enough, this happens. But for them to go from where they've been to this, that's
trouble. And it happened at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For them to turn up their toes like that at home. But you have to give the Sharks credit. The work that their forwards did through the middle and the space and time that you know, the age-old adage to lay the platform. But it was so evident in this game, the time and space that Nicho Hynes had. And he picked his moments for ball playing and running to perfection. I thought he was, you know, he was definitely worthy of the 12 Dally M points that he gets every week, certainly in this game.
This was the first time I feel like he earned them.
Yeah. Had an outstanding game. Cam McInnes, like, wouldn't you love to be Cam McInnes' plastic surgeon when he retires?
He'll be getting a referral from Dal Finucane.
we had a couple of people shit on us because we'd given it to Dale, and poor old Cam McInnes, you know, skates through unscathed, but he's an unfortunate looking chap, put it this way,
mate. If like this is the thing, maybe that's why Dal Finucane retired, because I mean, you know, when you've got the Goonies, you can only have one slot in the Goonies team, and now it's Cam McInnes. he's the younger slot.
There we go.
Any comments for that?
Of course, you're gonna want fucking
massacre.
Oh, he's busted out the silver chair. Now everyone's got silver chair in their fucking head for the rest of the day. That's fucking great. Troy, as a Sharks fan, I'm just waiting to see what Ricky whinges about in the press conference.
I didn't watch the press conference. Did he whinge about anything other than his team's commitment and performance?
No, I.
He had nothing to complain about. I mean, but that, I know that's not saying anything for Ricky Stewart, because that cunt can find something to complain about better than anyone on this fucking earth.
Matthew, man, Sharks are okay, but please don't pick any for Origin. It never works out well. Yeah, that's exactly right. Peter, Nate, please take that weak stero back.
I fucking told you. I told you he wasn't even a player.
Ben. As a Raiders tragic, I ain't mad. The young boys will be better for the run, especially with the fans bowing out in the second half. That's what this season is all about. Given up already. Tragic.
There, look, it wasn't 50, fellas. Look on the bright side. Mm. Okay, so that means we get to move forward to round 9. And this round, the Eels have the bye. And the first game we have is the Rabbits versus the Panthers on Thursday night. This one is taking place at Sydney Olympic Park, Accor Stadium. And the Rabbits, they go in again with some of the suspensions and the injuries of some star players, some of their better players, like AJ Luttrell, Campbell Graham, and losing Tane Milne because he's fucking grub and got 2 weeks.
Yep.
So, the Panthers side. The team is updated from when they've rested Nathan Cleary because of a 5-day turnaround, they say. Yep. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, hamstring injuries do, you know, recur under fatigue.
That's it.
So, and it's the worst team in the competition they're playing. So, you know, no dead cat bounce for the coach at all. And Brad Schneider, the true system, the system quarterback, Brad Schneider, comes into the side. And I think Panthers could probably put on some good performances like they had with him.
There you go.
Yeah, I'd tend to agree.
Time for him to get good again.
I agree with what you're saying. I don't think this is one of those games where a team Jags win for their interim coach. I think see us get dusted pretty handily.
They actually fucked on injury as well as just like form and every other thing. Mm. You know, they're no good. Yeah, they're gone. That Jai Gray looks okay, but he's very small.
He is little,
and I think that's a problem defensively. While like little guys can zip around, and
especially for a team that typically has Latrell in the one. Like,
Jai Gray's going to get to the ball a lot quicker than Latrell, but once he gets there. Again, I'm just not sure how much stopping power he has.
Michael Cheekam named in the centres.
Oh, yeah, great.
What side's he on? Thing. Who are we loading up on as any-time try scorer?
Oh, didn't we see Michael Cheekam fucking score a try to beat the Broncos? Was it when he was at the West Tigers, Glennie?
Yeah.
Or was it when he was doing South when he put the step on?
Yeah, he beat South once and the Broncos once,
Penrith 13+.
Yeah, easily. Yep. Even without the lineup changes. Okay, first game Friday, the mighty Manly Seabs Eagles take on the Canberra Raiders at Brookvale Oval. Toph Sipley is going to be back in the side from what I have been told. So we're getting closer to the lineup that we want to have. Obviously, big loss for Homoli being suspended for the next two games, but also Homoli was suffering from back spasms and stuff as well, so that's why he was a sacrificial lamb in this scenario, because they wanted to give him a rest before the bigger games that we've got coming up, like Magic Round and stuff like that. So, look, otherwise, starting to get a more settled lineup around with the forwards coming back into the side. You know the forwards are kind of where we want them to be when Aaron Woods isn't in the side. So which is great to see. There was going to be some massive reshuffling done this week with the Homoli situation, but because Toph Sipley's come back from injury, it's worked out to be perfect timing, and so no shuffling was needing to be done. But look, fairly settled lineup, obviously with the exception of Homoli. The Raiders, what the fuck are they doing here? Sherry Stewart is out, and Albert Hopewate will play fullback. For, I guess, his revenge game with KO Weeks in the 7 for his revenge game and Danny Levi in the 9. It's the revenge spine of the Raiders this week. all players let go for being substandard. And some of them let go during the fucking Desi reign for being substandard, so that says a lot. Look, I expect to win this game. I expected to win this game even if Daly got suspended. But with Daly actually there, I expect us to slot into at Brookvale Oval. I expect us just to fucking lock in. I'm hoping every week should be a 50 burger, but I'm hoping that this week that we dine out on 50 burgers and put Ricky out of his fucking misery for another year.
There you go.
The Broncos take on the Roosters at Suncorp Stadium Friday 8 o'clock game. Who have we got here? The Broncos are missing a couple of... Hey, speaking of the Broncos, who was it that extended through the week that I see? Was it Billy Wilders or was it Jockey Madden, Glennie?
Ooh.
One of your boys had got to extend their time at the Broncos. Killing it up there. Turns out they are always in a game, Glennie.
Talented individuals.
But Jockey's out of this game, though. Selwyn Cobbo coming in, Ezra Mam, Takura. There's a lot of players coming back in, which pushes Corey Oates out from the wing to the reserve. Jesse Arthurs goes centre to wing. The Rooster side. Okay, so still without Spencer Lanier. And a number of other players that are quite important to their side. I mean, Billy Smith I don't count because, I mean, he's always out. That guy's made of glass. But look, the Roosters, can they, on the back of a 60-point drubbing of the Dragons, can they challenge the Broncos side at home?
One team coming, both teams coming off big wins, but Roosters absolutely fucking slamming the Dragons. $3 outsiders for the Roosters. So Broncos at home will be formidable, I think.
Why are they that? I mean, that seems to be an irresponsible line, though, really. Like
$1.40 for the Broncos and $3 for the Roosters. So
Look, don't get me wrong. The Broncos should definitely be famous favourites, and I don't think that the Roosters are as good as the scoreline last week either.
Yeah,
like I will agree or concede or whatever to both of those points. But man, I don't know if they're that far apart.
Yeah,
in terms of quality. Because the thing about the Broncos is while they punish on errors and half chances better than I think any other team in the comp. Just the support play, like the amount of guys backing up on every half chance. There's always like four guys there, so it's like if it's a drop ball or something like that, you know, even if they, you know, lay it back and fuck it up, there still seems to be another guy there that's there to pick it up and go on with it and score the try.
Yep.
Reece Walsh, though, I mean, for every two incredible things that he does, I mean, he does two fucking stupid or rushed or, you know, poorly executed things as well to provide opportunities.
Yeah, there is still a bit of polish to come to his game. That much is obvious, but
it's just everything he does has to be fucking all or nothing brilliant. And when it comes off, it looks spectacular. And when he, you know, sends it over the guy's head or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, we established this last week. He's Indiana Jones. His presence in the game, there or not, has zero impact on the outcome. There's a couple of flashy things and a couple of fuck-ups. Net zero.
Broncos, 1-12.
Yes.
I think they can go 13+. Why not? Cool. Why not? The Doggies take on the West Tigers at Accor Stadium on Saturday afternoon. Now, this is a big game for the West Tigers because the Dogs are starting to finally build like an okay baseline to their performances. Defensively, they're pretty good. They're starting to find their attack. West Tigers, you know, certainly cultural improvement and definitely performance improvement, but they can still, as we saw last week, you know, they can still eat a decent scoreline.
Yeah.
But both sides would be looking at this game as a real chance to get some competition points.
Definitely.
So why are the West Tigers going to win, Glennie?
Because we're better. Are they going to win? Because we're better.
Better in what respect?
At rugby league.
Would you like to expand on that thought?
Look, other than complete biased bullshit, I don't know that I've got a lot to expand on, if I'm honest. Look, I'm concerned about Addo Carr and Burton's combination and... you know, we've got some inexperienced. We've got some inexperience on wing with Alamalu. Is that how I pronounce it? I fucking missed that. One of these young fellas coming through.
That was a blocker of a pronunciation, can I just say?
Yeah, I really fucked that up. I'm tired, man.
That was the thing about that Warriors game that was also really enjoyable. There was a period there where Blocker pronounced Dallin Watene Zalesniak's name three different ways, all of them. Like one time they called him I wish I could fucking remember. They were all time, like how you do it. It was like in 2 minutes. Three different times, three different ways, all of them incorrect. Just incredible. Performance from our blocker. I mean, you're talking about fucking Keary being the poster child for CTE. Wow. Yeah. Let me tell you, I got someone for you who's doing it now on tape every week in 4K.
anyway, 13+.
Oh,
those Dogs are better. They're better defensively. They have developed a little bit of a baseline sort of defensively. The Doggies at the moment, and the attack's starting to come in when you got guys like Crichton, anyway, you expect it out of them, and now they're starting to pull it together a little bit. I think that the Tigers can beat it. Yeah, like in a shootout, I think the Tigers have got like, you know, potentially more points total in them, but I just think that the Doggies are better defenders, and that's going to be the difference.
That's it.
The Titans take on the Storms at Hope Solo Coliseum in Robina Saturday evening. And the Gold Coast side, obviously coming off a big win over the Warriors. They've lost Mo Fonoaker, so they're pretty light on, I think, in terms of props in this game, having already lost Tino for the season, pretty much.
Yep.
Storms. Humming. Xavier Coates is out. But otherwise,
yeah.
Tyron Wishart just moves from the bench over to the wing. And
Titans blew themselves a nice little bubble last week with a win. I think the Storm come in and burst it fairly emphatically. I can't see a way that Titans win this game.
No. The thing we're saying about Storm in this season as well, when their attack wasn't firing before they were throwing 50 burgers on, their defense was incredible.
Yeah.
Titans love a shootout. Every game's a shootout.
Yeah.
I just don't think the Storm will allow a shootout.
No.
I think the Storm will be... they'll be able to defend a couple of tries, 3-4 tries, and by that stage, the game's... it's gone.
Yep.
And then they could build up a score again.
Titans just don't have the ability to break that Melbourne defense down to give themselves an opportunity to win. Simple as that.
No, that's right. This is not going to be a replay of the famous Sarge game.
Not at all.
At Suncorp Stadium that year where they did beat the Storm in a shootout. The Cowboys take on the Dolphins up at the Abattoir. Chance for the Cowboys to bounce back after their loss last week. Dolphin side. Fuck me, they've got a lot of good players on the sidelines at the moment. And I think for that reason alone... I mean, they get the return of Felice Kaufusi, and he is huge for them.
Yeah.
But that's not enough.
Cowboys will be rocked from last week, and at home again, I think.
Correct. Cowboys.
And look, if the Dolphins play like they did last week, they're fucked. But I mean, if they can do what they've done most weeks, which is provide this very solid baseline performance where they can kind of be there at the end of the game when it counts and, you know, put some points on and stuff. But I'm just not seeing it.
No.
Despite the fact that.
And especially up in Townsville, I think the Cowboys.
Yeah, Wanda Sykes is a huge in for them, though.
Yep.
I mean, he's one of the most important players, like, in terms of forward leader. But, yeah, I just don't think it's not enough.
Yeah, agree.
Knights take on the Warriors in Newcastle. The Knights side obviously missing Ponga until projected round 22. Jacob Saifidi, Marzu.
Are they missing him or is he suspended? Just absent?
That's true. Well, I mean, you know, I'm sure their marketing personnel are missing him, but that just gives them like a 15 weeks or whatever it is to get around David Armstrong.
Mm.
The fullback that the Newcastle area has been waiting for ever since fucking the retirement of Robbie O'Davis.
Oh, there you go.
Frankly, David Armstrong is that guy now.
Yeah.
And maybe the Knights will start getting some credit around here. The Warriors side, who have they lost? Well, they get Kirk Capewell back. Bundy Ofoala comes back as well. This week, both important to them, obviously. Look, I expect a bounce back from the Warriors because that's been two, you know, underwhelming performances in a row.
Yeah,
with a draw and then a loss to the Titans. And I mean, they got the, you know, they had to eat the embarrassing loss, the one to the team that hadn't won in, you know, 2 months. So, look,
on paper, the Warriors should win and win well, but I'm going to tip the Knights at home.
Really?
Upset. Yeah.
Mm. I tip the Warriors because I think of the amount of points. I mean, the Dolphins were fucking terrible last week and they didn't offer up anything until it was too far gone.
Yep.
At all. I mean, yeah, I think the Warriors are going to win this one fairly well, to be honest. But look, we shall see. We shall see, Glennie. Warriors. Here comes a tip for you, though.
I'm never wrong.
The Sharkies take on the Dragons. Who we got this week, boys? I think the Dragons will get another big win this week.
I have to tip the Dragons here.
Well, this is the cunt derby, isn't it? Like, the two fan bases that are just fucking horrific. Racist v. racist.
Yeah. Look.
Is it, though? It's kind of like, you know, there's the fucking guys that pump around Bathurst in cars, and then there's Formula One drivers. Some of them are proper fucking professionals.
Yeah, but like, while the Dragons are, I mean, you know, they have, like, you know, they're Nazi sympathisers like old mate Skull. I mean, the Sharks did engineer a race riot to remove Lebos from their beach.
Yeah, but
I mean,
did it work?
The dragons are all talk.
Tell me.
The Sharks are all action.
The Dragons, so, variety is the spice of life for the Dragons.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, they've got a lot of other things in there.
Yeah, that's
in
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There's 100 reasons to tip the Sharks, but I only need one to tip the Dragons. And that reason is, when I tip them,
they lose.
They'll lose.
Yep, Dragons.
Big win coming up for the Dragons.
Let's go.
Go the Red V.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's all the games.
Fantastic.
We're done. It's a round of action. Anything you want to add before we... Oh, actually, I won't forget this week. I actually forgot when we were speaking at the end of last week's episode. But, and I had to bolt it in afterwards and re-record a little bit and bolt in the intro and everything for Noffa Watch episode 2. This week we've got Noffa Watch episode 3. So,
here we go.
We're gonna throw to Noffa Watch, and he can end the show for us this week. Wonderful work again by James, and we thank him for his ongoing contributions, because I tell you, it is kind of satisfying to see Noffa sucking more in England. Like, I mean, when the history of Australian players going over to England when their careers seems to be dead and buried, and they fucking dominate the competition over there.
You could just imagine the phone call with his agent, and his agent's, mate, you'll crush it over there. It'll be Man of Steel. You'll come back. Oh. And Noffa is like, you know what? You're fucking right.
Yeah, and now he's over there, you know, getting dropped and just, like, basically sucking even more. I mean, Noffa in the UK is the player we sort of said he was when he was here. Like, he was never as bad as we said, as we carried on the show. But now he legit is in England. So here's Noffa Watch to end the show. And on that note, we will see you next week.
Later.
See ya.
Welcome to a very special edition of Noffa Watch. We've actually managed to secure an interview with the big man. So sit back and enjoy. Welcome, David. I just want to say thank you so much for sitting down with us. Here, all of us at Twill Nation are such huge fans, especially the hosts. We won't hear a bad word about you.
I'm David Nofaluma.
Okay. As I was saying, you know, we're all really big fans.
I'm unsure about the fans.
Well, yeah, don't be like that, Dave. We all love you. Anyway, So, left the West Tigers, brand new start, brand new club. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, that's another easy decision to come here. You know, Melbourne have been in the finals pretty much every year. And
Melbourne, don't you mean Salford?
Come to Salford. Someone corrected me. It's Salford. Salford.
Yeah, no, Salford. You know you're playing in Super League, right?
To be honest, I've never watched a Super League game.
Yeah, I suppose that tracks that your internal compass is fucked and you don't know where you are. But it has to be said that you came over with a big reputation, Tigers' highest ever try scorer. You thought you were NRL standard. You thought you were NRL playoff standard. But you've been proving that you're not even Super League standard. I mean, what do you say to your new fans and your new club?
The Tigers for a long time.
Yeah, fair point. I get that. But you can't come over and use that excuse. Many West Tigers come over and flourish. Look at Pat Richards. And there were others. But I've got to say, we still support you massively in offer. You're one hell of a player. And you're very much in the mould of Toowoomba Twill Nation legend, the Toowoomba Ghost, not because of the KKK, Big D's Glenn Blakely, who actually says he styled his game after you. And it's my understanding, actually, he's been in touch recently and offered you a job at Track Spares if Super League doesn't pan out. He has reached out and clarified that his days of tying up young Polynesian men to chairs and oiling them up are behind him. And if Super League doesn't pan out, there's a future for you at Track Spares and the old MI. So how do you feel about working under Big D's?
Yeah, he's been fantastic. He seems like a very, very genuine guy, and I can already say that someone I want to work for.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Noffa, and thanks for having us. And from all of us at Tool Nation, we say good luck. We foresee a bright future for you and the MI.
Thank you.
And that's it for Noffa Watch this week. And back to the studio.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.